Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday, November 29th, and Girls Getting the Facts is back on the air after being off for a couple weeks. We are waiting and hoping that our new co-host is going to be able to join us this evening. We do know she was tied up in the shop tonight. They had some things they had to attend to. So hopefully we can get her on tonight and get her to introduce herself to everybody and let everybody know a little bit about herself and her background. She's got a very extensive background in motorsports, and she's going to be a great addition to the show. So we are hoping that Miss J.J. Dixon will be able to join us a little bit later on. But we have Danny calling in, so we're going to bring him on the line. Hey, Danny, what's up?
Hey, how are you?
Good. Are you ready for this long list of news we got going on?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Missed you on Monday. Yeah, I'm ready. You missed a show on Monday.
Oh, yeah. I was out and about, and we were out doing, we had presentations and things like that. We got back to the station. We got a fire call. So it was one of those wonderful, adventurous nights to begin with. So, yeah, it was fun.
Oh, so, we had fun.
Oh, hold on. Wait, fill me in. What did I miss?
Well, basically, we didn't do anything about the books. We just pretty much ripped on each other, gossip. Carrie talked about modeling. We got another model, Kristen, to call in too. So we were just goofing around and laughing.
You guys were busy, having fun.
Yeah. You missed out on the show. They let me have it, and it was all in good fun.
Ay, ay, ay. Well, are we ready to get back to news then, since we had fun Monday night?
Yeah, we're ready to go back racing.
Maybe. Well, first up on the list is, and I just sent you the pictures and everything like that, this 2013 Chevy SS. What do you think of it?
I don't like the front end. It doesn't look mean enough.
Doesn't look mean enough. Well, what their goals are, and I'm not quite sure if they've quite gotten to that point yet. With all the changes and everything that they're doing, they're trying to make the cars look more like they did when they originally started the sport, where win on Sunday, sell on Monday.
Yeah, I got that. And they do look like the street cars.
It does look more like the street car, but I am not still 100% convinced. You know, maybe they need to come to a compromise. Instead of trying to make the race cars look like the street cars, maybe they need to make the street cars look more like the race car.
Well, they've done that. The Intimidator, Monte Carlo.
They have, but not, I don't think they've quite captured the essence of the race car yet in them. It's not 100%. There's still room for tweaking on both ends, for going on the track side of things and the street side of things.
I just don't like the grill opening on the front bumper of the Chevy.
Yeah, it's
the
a little... It's different. I mean, I don't know. I can't wait to see one in person. I'm kind of curious to see it in person and see how it's
going to look. The headlights remind me of the Pontiac.
Yeah, they don't. I don't know. It still doesn't look to me as close to as what I'm going to see when I go in the showroom. It's close, but it's not it. And I know the decals and everything have come a long way, and the headlights look realistic and everything like that. But I don't know. There's still... I haven't even know how to put my hands on it. It's getting there. You know, little by little, it's getting there. But I think there's some work to do. But of all the manufacturers, though, Chevy has some of the strongest stats when you look at the sport. This year...
Well, they always have.
They always have. I mean, let's see, 57 years ago is when they had the 55 Biscayne with the Chevy V8 small block in it. That was the first win for Team Chevy. This year, Jimmy Johnson with the V8 gave them their 700th victory at Texas Motor Speedway. You know, they've got a lot of victories. They've got a lot of championships, too, for the manufacturers. They have over 702 wins in seven decades. So they've got a lot of wins. Obviously, when you think of Chevy, too, you think of Dale Earnhardt Sr. You know, he brought a lot of them to the thing. You know, Chevy's also in the truck series. They're in the Nationwide series.
Now, did they count the Oldsmobile, Buick, and Pontiac with those sets? Since they were all the Chevy motor and all GM.
trying to see if they listed in there or not of who they actually consider. Because I thought Pontiac and them were put in their own class when they were scoring them out. I could be wrong. I'll have to double check that for you and get back to you on that one. But I thought that's what they did.
I think that's what they did when they did the point system when they were running, but I'm just wondering, like, if the overall stats, if they're not the same, since it's the same engine.
Right.
With the
I don't
Chevy
know if
the
they've
Pontiac.
Ever just merged them since the other one disappeared, or if they just leave them hanging out there in space.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was looking here to see if they've tested against the other cars to see how it's held up or not like that. I'm not seeing anything. Doesn't mean they haven't done it yet. I'm just kind of curious how the new design is, you know. I know they put a lot of work into making sure they're aerodynamically correct and ready and everything like that. But sometimes
well, you gotta think,
if it's not
like,
broke, don't fix it, you know. It's worked well all this time. Why change everything up?
Well, again, you're getting into my area. These cars, they designed them and started designing them several years ago. And they're
okay.
just now coming out.
This
not isn't like something like they designed last year. This is several years worth of work.
Yeah, and it does. I don't think people realize how much work goes into this before a car comes out on the track. It's not just, oh, I've got a new idea, and then a couple months later we have a new car. It doesn't work like that. There's a lot more work that goes into it, in designing and testing and everything like that.
And the street car is the same way. And, like, you go to a dealership and you buy a car and you think, oh, it's so expensive. The dealership doesn't get that much money for the car. In fact, they don't make hardly anything at all selling cars. Most of their money comes from the financial aid part and the in the back where they have all the techs working on it, the actual shop.
Exactly.
And, well, not only that, but when you're buying a car, most of that, like several thousand dollars, is going towards me designing that car and testing and research and development. And it takes several years to do that. Like, they're working on cars for 2016 right now.
Exactly. And I don't think people realize that, you know, you drive off the lot going, oh, I got a brand new car. But that car really isn't technically brand new. It was created a long time before you thought about going and buying it.
Yeah. But at least the ideas are. Because we got to deal with what's called Nader laws. And it's all these different safety factors. And like I was telling someone, because they were complaining about how GM's building a factory in China. And it's like, those China cars will not come to the U.S. because even though they're the same car, they're completely different because we have Nader laws. And it's like, we got just the seat alone. There's at least four different safety features in them. And I'm not even including the seatbelt in that. And these other countries don't have that. And it's like, and one of the big things you can tell between a U.S. car and like a Euro car is European cars do not have cup holders. And yet, so American factories do not build European cars because of, you have to rearrange all the machinery for that and switching the steering wheel around and all that.
That must have been what was wrong with my other Jeep because it didn't have cup holders. Now I know what's wrong with it.
But I'm just saying, like, that's like the most obvious thing. Like, here in America, we live in our cars, so we have that. But we have to design a car, there's so much involved in it and so much government regulation into it. Like how strong the bumpers are, how the frame deflects and all that. We got to test all these different features. And then with the money that goes into it, like, you know, it's like your work trucks and your electric cars, they don't look all that pretty. And it's because so much cost went into the actual design, they didn't have enough money in the budget to make them look pretty. Where you're more of your class, I don't want to say class, your just regular everyday cars are made to look pretty.
Your standard level cars.
Yeah,
entry
they're
level.
Made to look pretty, yeah. Like the Chevy SS, they're made to look pretty. that's because there's enough budget into the design to make them look that way.
Right. And it's, you know, I still am a stickler of, you know, and I guess this is where my motocross stuff is. That same bike I'm racing, you can go to the shop, you can go to any dealership, and you can buy one. It looks just like my bike, except for graphics, because I have the girly butterflies on it. But you really can't do that with the NASCAR cars like you used to anymore. I mean, even some of the road rally cars, though, are kind of extreme looking compared to their actual comparable models you can buy in the store. So it's got its good points, it's got its bad points, but maybe someday they'll meet in the middle and actually make the best of both worlds. You know, make the car look as close as it can to what it is on the track, and same thing with the car on the track, make it look as close to what it they can on the street. A little bit better than what they've done in the past. You know, I've seen the people in the past, and I've seen the cars firsthand that are supposed to look like the ones on the racetrack, but there's still a lot of differences.
Yeah, and like, and the new sponsorship rule, since we're getting into the new car, I don't like that too much.
See, now, I'm all for that, but see, now, that's the advertising and marketing side of me coming out. I want to plaster company names everywhere and anywhere I can on that car, because every spot you see a name filled up is more funding for my team to make it through the year.
But see, it gets to the point where, like, the front fender, that's all the contingency sponsors. See how busy that is, though?
They're going to reduce that for this year, though. They're going to reduce the size of the contingency sponsors and everything like that. They are making accommodations now. So it does have some perks.
They're reducing it, but they're also allowing, you know how, like, you'll go to different websites and they'll have, like, in the background.
Uh-huh.
You can do that on the cars now.
Yep,
so,
you can have it tiled in the background now. But if you think about this in a way, Jeff Burton kind of was already in a roundabout way doing that on his car, if you really think about his design.
Yeah, but
It wasn't too bad, but if you really think about it, he had the Phantom, so to speak, version of one of the diggers in the background of his car from Cat. So he kind of was already doing some wrapping and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's going to be more brighter or whatever. I don't like that. And I don't like the sponsor on top of the roof. It's like, why even have a car number now?
Think about this. What is one of the biggest views they show you now at the track? They're looking
it's
down from the top.
And the left rear quarter panel gets the most views. And
the hood. It does, but think about this. When you're looking down the cars and they're looking down from the blimp and stuff like that and they're zooming in, you're really not seeing your side panel. So by being able to stick another sponsor up on that roof, that's just more exposure for that sponsor. I know. You have mixed thoughts on that. I know. I'm all for it because if a company's going to give me money, I want to put their name everywhere that they're going to be seen. And when you're just showing my roof, guess what? All anybody's seeing is my numbers and my name. That's it.
But when they show that, you're also seeing the hood and the rear deck lid, and they have the sponsors on them too.
You are. But maybe this will help out a little bit with the flow. Like the name on the windshield, I think is great, especially for those fans who have never been to a race before and they're just there because somebody had a ticket and brought them. So now they can leave.
Yeah, I'm on the name on the roof, or the name on the windshield.
And then
that's
the name,
okay.
The name extending past the B post on the cars too. That doesn't bother me either because again, you're giving the teams more room to help promote those sponsors. And if without those sponsors, we wouldn't be seeing those teams out in that track.
No, no. To me, though, if you make it too busy, it's just going to become a blur.
Well, exactly.
And
you have to be very tasteful and very tactful in how you do the layout of your car to make sure that you don't clutter it, because I think that's the biggest thing we have to worry about now is cluttering, now that we can do the tiling effect and everything like that for the background. So,
see, and that's why
I'm afraid that we are, and I'm sure somebody is going to have the disaster car, for lack of better terms, this year. But after everybody sees it, then they'll probably go, oh, what was I thinking? First time they see it on TV.
Because, like, the B and C posts, they're filled with the driver sponsors. Then the lower part of the rear quarter panels and right in front of the rear tire. Those are the team sponsors. Mm-hmm. The above the rear tire, that's the secondary sponsor or the associate sponsor. And then the rear deck lid and rear bumper is the secondary sponsor. And then your primary sponsor's on the hood.
You know, but I hate to say it like that, though, to be honest with you, because, like, especially some of these smaller budget teams, I hate when it gets termed like that, or your primaries, your secondaries. What if your primary sponsor just couldn't afford that big spot, so you compromised with them? They could still be one of your primary sponsors, but they just have a smaller section of the car because that's all they could afford in their budget, you know? So
the one that pays the most money gets the hood.
Well, not necessarily. Not in all cases. Now, we've had, like, Kenny Wallace, for example, when he did his fan car, everybody got the same spot on the car no matter how much they paid. You know, so
yeah, but that was fans. That's not actual sponsors.
Well, in that essence, though, they were the sponsors because they were the only reason why he was racing.
Yeah, but I'm talking about actual company sponsors, not these little special fans where you're writing the names down.
And you could have a sponsor, too, that's going to look at it and go, well, I don't want my name on that hood because they're going to show the side of the car more. They're going to show the side than the hood. So why would I think of that as being the prime spot? So that's
and that's their deal.
It is.
But,
that's
I mean,
what I'm saying. That's where your marketing comes into play, and that's where your advertising agents and everything really have to show them the benefits of what they have there, you know, and say, well, yes, I understand that. The side of the car gets 75% of the coverage versus the hood of the car that gets 10% of the coverage, but this is why you'd rather be on the hood. But, you know, it's one of those areas where they just really got to work at it, too, to benefit everybody on that car.
It's just what NASCAR calls it and what everybody else calls it, the primary sponsors on the hood, and they decide the paint scheme and all that. The secondary sponsors on the deck lid and the bumper, the associate sponsors on the side.
And like I said, I hate listing it like that because I don't want to make any sponsor feel like they're less important just because they're in a different location. To me, like when I'm working with some of the teams that I do work with and all for their sponsorship here locally, I don't want one sponsor to think that they're less important because we stuck them here because this is what they consider a secondary spot. I don't want them thinking, oh, I'm just a runner-up to the guy paying all the big bills, so I'm really not that important. I still want them feeling as important as they are if they were that
sponsor.
Well, they're
sponsor.
Not. But they are. No,
they're not.
They are, though.
I mean,
that's
the primary,
little sponsor
the guy
right
who
there.
Pays the most money is your main guy.
But all your sponsors should be treated just as equally because if you lose one of them, that could be the difference between going to a race and sitting in your garage.
I'm going to kiss the butt of the person who pays me the most money.
Nope. You got to treat them all equally because,
you can't do that.
You lose one, you got to. That's 100% what you have to do. I mean, you can't, just because, say, this guy gave me $10, but this guy gave me $20, you know what? I need them both because that $30 right there is what's getting me into those pits to race that night. So I have to take care of them both equally, even though one gave me double the other one.
Okay, in the real world.
No, I'm dead serious. I am dead serious.
So am I. I mean, that's what they're called. That's what they're listed as. It's a pretty.
I'm telling you, I mean, I got some of my teams right now, I am and me on Facebook, saying the same thing. If I wouldn't take my little secondary sponsorships and treat them as well as my primary sponsorships, I wouldn't have any sponsors at all because everybody has to be created and made feel equal. I got teams telling me that right now. So, you know, and it's exactly 100%
these little
right.
Tiny teams are actual NASCAR teams.
We are NASCAR in this area. We are NASCAR sanctioned racing.
No, I'm in like cup type teams.
Doesn't matter. I can tell you, even though from some of the cup PR people I work with, it's the same thing. You have to do it. You have to treat them all as equals. You have to respect them all, and you have to be appreciative of them all. Doesn't matter if they're spending $10,000 and this other guy's spending $5,000. You got to pay for your tires and your gas and everything else. You know what? Every little dollar helps in this industry.
Oh, I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm just saying, you know, the main sponsors, your big time people, the guy who pays the most, he's going to be the one, hey, you decide the paint scheme. And the guy who pays second most says, I want a blue car, and the guy who's paying the most says, I want a red car. Are you going to piss off the guy who pays the most, or are you going to pay, go, oh, we'll paint blue because I would treat that equally.
But they really don't get to decide that either. Your sponsors don't decide. They decide what their logos look like on your car, but they don't decide your entire paint scheme. Not unless you give them that liberty in their contract. They do not get that opportunity.
You know, look at those pictures of my IM too. Let's see. Tony Stewart, Brass Pub, primary sponsor. Look at his car. It's all black and orange.
Right, but that
Jimmy
is
McMurray, McDonald's, primary sponsor. His whole car is a red, yellow, and black McDonald's. Kevin Harvick, Budweiser colors, Lowe's. For Jimmy Johnson, Lowe's colors. Okay,
but
they also got the associate sponsors.
Right.
But Tony doesn't. Tony has the Mobile One.
But that's the team's choice. That is the car owner's choice, what that car design and everything's going to look like. They lay it all out. Obviously, they're going to be accommodating those sponsors because they want it to look good for them. But
oh,
the final
sponsors,
say is not
those
the
sponsors have a say.
Mm-mm.
Yeah,
I can call a guy right now that designs the cars, and he'll tell you 100%. No, they don't. Team owner has the final say on what that car looks like. They
have to
be approved.
They have to be approved by the sponsors, by the team, and by NASCAR.
The only thing that has to be approved is the logo for the sponsor. That's the only thing that has to be approved.
NASCAR has to approve the paint scheme, too.
Right, but for the sponsors themselves, they only can approve what their logos are going to look like on that car. They do not have to make that car look like anything for the sponsor other than that logo area.
I'm telling you right now, if that primary sponsor doesn't like that paint scheme, if that car doesn't look like Kevin Harvick with Budweiser, if that car doesn't look like a Budweiser can or the Budweiser colors, do you think Budweiser's going to put their name on that car? Or they're going to go find somebody else who will make their car look Budweiser colors?
And that's a chance they take, though, and that's the reason why the owners have to work with their sponsors and the designer. But, again, it does not have to be. But it doesn't have to be. You do not have to make a match.
Yeah, I don't see, like, McDonald's or I don't see Home Depot. Let's do that. Home Depot, mostly orange and white. I don't see them doing a blue and white car. I don't see Home Depot doing a Lowe's colored car. You think if, like, Joe Gibbs, like, I want that 20 car to be blue, you think Home Depot's going to stay with that team?
Well, it all depends. It all depends on what's in their contract with the sponsor. You know, they may not like how it looks, but they don't get the final say in what the entire car looks like unless they buy the entire car and pay for the entire car.
That's what I'm saying. It's like they're building up the money. If they don't accommodate the sponsors, say, hey, you want a blue car, we'll make it blue. If they like, you want a blue car, oh, well, we're making it red. You think they're going to go, okay, here's some money. They're going to go buy money.
It all depends. Honestly, it all depends. If you're talking about the primary sponsor on the car and they are paying for the entire season, but when they become that secondary sponsorship to somebody else, no.
That's what I'm saying.
And some of the teams flip-flop around.
You. You're just saying what I've been saying.
Right.
The
but
primary sponsor is that main sponsor.
They can influence it, but they do not get the final decision on that car. They do not. I can tell you that for a fact. They do not get the final decision because if a team owner doesn't like the way that car is looking, they can the whole thing. And you know what? That's just a decision and a risk you have to take with a sponsor because sometimes you want to make sure your car is appearing the right way for the fans.
Now, I see a team owner going, okay, I want the lines doing this and that. But I'm telling you, the sponsors are going to want those colors.
They can request it. Doesn't mean they can be accommodated. You have to see what's in their contract.
And then, like, if I'm a sponsor and I'm getting money and my colors are this and you refuse, I'll take my money elsewhere.
And like I said,
flat out, plain and simple.
That's a risk a team will take. That's a risk that some of the teams will have to take when they go into these kind of talks. All right, let's see. Well, let's move on to something a little bit more entertaining here. We got Junior tying Bill Elliott's record here for 10 consecutive times where he has been named the Myers Brothers MVP, or Most Popular Driver of the Year. But Elliott still leads with 16 overall. I know. I'm not sure. I know he had a better year than he has in the past, but the top 10 drivers who earned the most votes were reset to zero from in September. So it was between Kyle Busch, Jr., Carl, Gordon, Harvick, Jimmy, Casey, Matt, Bobby, and Tony. These were your finalists. Obviously, Brad's not in there. But there was more than 934,000 votes that were cast. He was proven once again to be the fans' favorite. Makes me wonder, are we going to put Danica in that running next year for the Cup Series Most Popular?
She won't be full-time, though, will she? Because it's only full-time drivers.
Who knows with her?
Now that she's single, she has more time on her hands. you have to be a full-time driver.
No, because what's his name won it? Remember, we all were surprised by that guy from India that ran one or two truck races and got MVP.
Yeah, but he signed up for the full truck. Because when he won and he beat Jim for that one year, we're all like, who? But he signed up for the truck points.
Well, if Danica signs up for the points, it puts her eligible. Even though we don't.
She'll sign up for the nationwide points, though, because she'll be doing the full. Because remember, now you have to sign up for the different point system.
Yep, but it just.
You can do both.
It surprises me, though, with all the names that were mentioned in there that, once again, he runs away with it. I mean, you have Jeff Gordon, who had a stellar season, did a lot of great work for the communities and everything like that, which we'll get to in a few minutes, too. But
I'm surprised Clint Boyer didn't win it.
He wasn't even in the running. He wasn't even in the top 10. Like, where was he? Where was Brad? You know,
after that race, two races ago, I'm surprised Clint Boyer. But, like, I guess since it was reset in September.
But even still, from February to September, these were your top 10 guys, and I'm just looking at them going,
I understand Kurt Busch being in there.
It wasn't Kurt, it was Kyle.
That's what I meant to say, Kyle Busch.
But he really wasn't that impressive from February to September. I mean, I'm looking
at least he was
kind of lackluster.
He was always in it, and it was always like a mechanical issue that took him out, though. He didn't have the results to show for what he was doing on the track. I see the other drivers being in it, in the top 10 of that. But yeah, Junior, it's like, look, I got the tips of my hair frosted. I'm wearing my sunglasses. Oh.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just...
Put me on another TV commercial. Ah. I mean, that's why he's... And remember, it's a fan vote. So
it's a fan vote, and that's why I'm not sure... I don't know. I like Bobby Labonte being in there, too, is kind of a surprise.
Well, Bobby Labonte has a hardcore fan base.
He does, you know, and that's...
I remember Bill Elliott kept winning it because it used to be telephone calls back when he won it, like you had to call in, and he had a group of fans, his fan club, that just kept on calling in and in and in and in and in. And that's how he kept winning all those years.
Yeah, I think, didn't he win the fan vote too this year for the All-Star race? That's how he got in.
I don't remember who got in on the fan vote.
It was him. Because Junior ended up winning his weighing.
Okay. Or was it Bobby Labonte?
Nah.
Bobby Labonte did 1 year.
It was Bobby this year.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he does. He has a good, strong fan base and everything like that. But, like, I'm not seeing Jeff Burton in there. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Jeff Burton's never really had a big fan base.
You'd be surprised. When you walk around the track and everything like that, you'd be surprised how much of the stuff you see.
Oh, yeah, I've walked around the track, but I've never really seen him with a big, strong, strong fan base. But, like, Junior, it's all the oogly, googly, gaga little girls and everyone.
Well, that's more Casey.
Well, Casey gets those, too. But Junior gets more of those. And Junior also carrying in the beer fan folk, too. Like, he kept his fans from that. I see, and most of his fans came in after Senior's death.
I think so. Yeah, I think he does have a lot of carryover fans.
No, right. I've seen a lot. Most of the Senior fans I've talked to, they either stayed with Kevin Harvick or they stopped watching racing, period. And very few of them, started watching or went to Junior. But look at the age range of Junior's fans. They're all, like, in their 20s.
No, they're not.
And, like, they started watching racing. Well, I don't mean, like, all of them, but I mean the majority of them are in their 20s.
No, he's actually got one of the broadest fan bases that there is out there right now because of him spanning between his father's fans and everything like that down to him. He has the kids liking him because he's got Mountain Dew and Amp on the car. You know, and he stretches through the years, stretches through the age brackets.
I don't know. But, yeah, I think he uses more Hollywood than anything.
I think they've all become that way. I really do.
What?
I think a lot of the drivers have become that way. I think
Junior's the worst of all.
No, I don't put him as worst of all, actually. He's very quiet and very shy.
Patrick now.
I hate to say it, but I can't even put her in that category. You know,
more the Hollywood-based
Hollywood
TV
based?
Commercial?
The Bush Brothers. When it comes to Hollywood-based, definitely the Bush Brothers.
I don't see them. You see Kyle doing a few Toyota and MM commercials, but you don't see him constantly doing different.
I'm not talking about commercials.
Where Junior, he got the Nationwide commercials, he got the Wrangler Jean commercials, he got the Ant commercial, the National Guard commercials, the GoDaddy commercials.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about commercials. I'm just talking about how they present themselves at the track.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, he's definitely not. I mean, and a lot of drivers over the years have done the commercials and everything like that. Tony used to do tons of commercials when he was with Home Depot. But
yeah.
They did this whole Hollywood persona when they're at the track of, oh, here I come, I'm coming past you, look at me, pay attention to me, but I'm not going to take 2 seconds to sign an autograph for you.
Now, see, that ain't true about Kyle. Because and Kurt, they've both always been really cool with me. Jeff Gordon, on the other hand, has always been the prick where I don't care how old you are. Oh, 13-year-old boy wants my autograph. Put a hand on his shoulder, push him on the ground, keep on walking. I'm too good for you.
Now that all the drivers are really starting to get like that.
I see that 13-year-old boy. Don't even go there.
But all the drivers are doing that because I see it. I see it when I'm at the track. They'll walk right past. They won't stop. They won't take
my
half
time anymore.
Push
you out of the way and all that?
I can tell you, if you don't move quick enough for some of the drivers, yeah, you're going to get pushed out of the way, either by them or their PR person.
This was way back in the early 90s. or mid-90s when that happened.
But that was also when he was just starting out, too.
Yeah, he still had that, I'm too good for this type attitude. That's why I've never liked him, because of that. He's always had that, like, I'm better than everybody else kind of attitude, and I'm too good for my fans.
No,
Justin. And then as soon as the TV camera's on him, or some camera's on him, oh, I love my fans. I love you. Love you. Oh, you got hurt. Okay, I love you. Oh, camera's off me. Goodbye.
No, Jeff has changed a lot, actually, since he's remarried and he's had kids. He's had a huge change in how he acts and how he is at the tracks. It's been like a complete 360 with him. He actually takes the time now, gets down with the kids. He's one of the few that I see out there. Like, we were kind of surprised. We did see Junior come out and do some autographs and stuff like that. And Jimmy does it, but he's just real quick and like, okay, here I am. All right, I'm gone. You know, yeah, I'm a 5-time champion here. Yeah, yeah. You should be glad I came out to see you sometimes. And I know it's not their fault, and I'm going to stick up for the drivers in this, because I'm going to say I know they're getting pushed around, they're getting rushed around, they're running here, they're running there. They got people chasing them while they're trying to go through the pit area and stuff like that. So take a spin on it and put it in perspective, okay? Have them come into your place of work and chase you running around going, Danny, Danny, sign my paper, sign my picture. Danny, Danny.
Well, wait a minute.
And you're trying to
where
do your job.
I met Jeff Gordon. Wait a minute. I've met him a few times. So
just one driver. Focus on all the drivers.
Oh, I'll focus on other drivers, too. Like Rusty and Dale Waltrip. They're like 50-50 when you meet them. Sometimes they'll be nice, gracious, and then there's other times you can tell they're having a bad day, and they'll just get the bleep out of my face. And all that, it just, Ray Irvin is also like that, but Jeff Gordon, I've met him, the first time I met him was at his first victory at Bristol. We were in victory lane, Rick Hendrick came out, and this was back when they were with Coke, because he came out and gave me a Coca-Cola hat, and it was just me and two other kids. Brooke came out, thanked all of us for being fans, and then Jeff hop on a little, he came out, saw like there was three of us standing there, hop on a little golf cart, went like, I would say a block to an SUV, and then hopped in the SUV. Didn't want to say hi, bye, wave, or nothing. Dale Jarrett, Bill Elliott on the other hand, when they were doing all that stuff, if they were being rushed and there was like kids, like they would actually fight their PR people. I've seen that happen.
But you can't do that anymore. You cannot do that anymore. If you fight your PR person, everything like that, let's put it to you this way. You walk into that driver's meeting late, you get fined.
Oh, yeah.
Let
me finish, because that rule's always been around, but they'll at least take care of the kids, and if there's not too many of them, I've seen them go, okay, here's the van, hop in the van, the driver will bring you back. And they would go in the van with them. They would sign the autographs going down there, and then the driver would come right back and drop off the people. I've seen them do that.
They're not allowed. They shouldn't be doing that.
They weren't allowed to do it then either, but they did it.
Right, but that's the
thing. They would at least take care of the kids. And, like, if it was the driver's meeting, they're like, okay, I only have time for the kids. I've seen drivers do that even now, where they're like, okay, I only have time for the kids. I'll sign for the kids, and they'll at least explain. Where people like Jeff Gordon, and it's like, and this is even after the race when there's nobody around. But the moment that TV camera gets on, oh, hi, yes, I love you.
But see, that's not the thing. And I can tell you that right now, Jeff Gordon is not
like
that anymore.
I've seen it.
You've seen it when he was younger. He's seen it when he was with Brooke. You haven't seen it since he's remarried and he's had kids of his own, and now he's seen it from a different perspective. He now has kids of his own. He now sees how they're feeling and everything and looking at things, and he's had a change. He's not what he used to be. If we all kept holding grudges against Tony for how he's been in the past, he wouldn't have any fans or followers either. But we have to look at that and say, okay, what were the circumstances
around
it?
I'll take up for Tony. Tony's been great with his fans. Now, press people, not so much.
And I
but
said, it's different.
Fans,
he has
been good.
He has lashed out on fans as well. And I am a fan of Tony, but I know he lashes out on fans just as well as he does the media. Does it always get publicized? No, but he does. It's not just certain drivers. They've all had their bad days. They've all had their moments, and they've either learned from it or they're gone. Because owners don't put up with that anymore.
Oh, I know, like, when driver signed with Petty, I know, like, Bobby Hamilton, they had to act a certain way. They had to be this way. They weren't allowed to sit behind tables. They had to sit on top of the tables where with the fans. Richard Petty had the highest standard for his drivers on how they acted and how they treated the fans. I will give the Petty Enterprise and Petty Motorsports that, is that they make their drivers treat fans one way. Richard Petty's always held that standard.
They hold the standards, but they don't make the drivers act that way. It's just what they look for in a driver when they get them. You can't make a driver
Bobby
have
Hamilton
a good day when he's having a bad day.
No, I saw how Bobby Hamilton had changed with Richard Petty and when he left Richard Petty. Same thing with John Andretti. Because they'll go in that team having one attitude. And same thing with Jeff Green. They'll go in that team having, because they were known as the pricks of the sport. And that, I mean, I'm friends with Bobby Hamilton. I see it in him, too. He can have that prick side. But Petty Motorsports, and it was even well known. And, like, he's even said it. When they're with them, or any drivers are with them, they have to treat their fans this way all the time. And at autograph sessions, they got to be this way. Like, there's a table set up. You know how the drivers sit behind the tables? The drivers have to sit in front of the table because he does not want the drivers separated.
But not all venues will accommodate them when they do that. So I can't see that them making that the rule, because I could tell you right now from some of the venues we deal with and everything, they won't let you sit in front of that table. You must sit behind it and you must have a security guard next to you. And you're not allowed to have the fans come back there and pose with you, because that is the setup and structure of the area. If it was Richard dictating that, he wouldn't be letting his people go out to those kind of autograph sessions then, because it violates what his policies are. But he doesn't get the final say. The venues get the final say because of security issues.
You going to tell Richard Petty now?
He hasn't been told that. They have been told that. I know, because he's come to the shows in our area. And they've been told that it can't be like that. He has to be where they tell him to be. They're the ones paying for that driver to be there for that autograph session. That venue person is in charge of how that driver acts when they're there, and also in charge of making sure they stay safe.
Well, I've seen them tell him to do one thing, and the driver will be like, okay, and then go do his own thing.
Most places and most venues won't let him do that. They won't, because of security issues.
I know how they are. In fact, I just got in a fight last night with a former WU player while I was doing security last night. Because he's like, I'm just big shot, I should do this. But that's another story. But yeah, I know how Richard Petty is. I've been to venues where he gets up and, like, they have the seat set up for him and all that. He gets in front of the table, he'll sit on top of the table. In fact, I think there's probably even a picture on my Facebook with him doing that somewhere. I'll have to look for it. But yeah, Richard Petty does not sit behind tables.
All right. Other thing, too, and again, it's not one of your favorite drivers, but he holds a good spot here in our family's heart. He's done a lot for my kids. Jeff Gordon, he earned the Myers Brothers Award this year for his charitable work that he's done, both on track and off track. He's worked real hard to work with programs like Drive to End Hunger, where he's trying to help, you know, reestablish food banks and help people without them going without food, which has become a big crisis in our country as of late. And he's been honored with that this year. And then they also, at this luncheon today, the Myers Brother luncheon, awarded Paul Wolf the Crew Chief of the Year honors. He had 5 wins, 13 top 5 finishes, 23 top 10 finishes, and the Sprint Cup Championship with the number 2 Miller Lite Dodge of Brad Keselowski. So he was named the Kimberly Clark Professional Crew Chief of the Year today.
Cool.
So proud of him for that. And at that luncheon, they also honored Mars Incorporated for all of their work that they've done in the sport for the Marketing Achievement Award. They've teamed up and put themselves in spots. They one of the things that they are known for is they pioneered the popular TV panel program, which places the logo of key retailers on the rear TV panel of the number 18 M&M's Toyota, so that you would drive exposures, which would help with your sales. They came up with the Best Seats in the House program, which gave seats the ultimate seat upgrade at select tracks. They did ambassadors with the 18 M&M Toyota. They hosted a NASCAR day at their headquarters in New Jersey, and Joe Gibbs Racing, owner Joe Gibbs, Kyle Busch, and the M&M's team came out for that day. So this year they were added to the list of winners that have won in the past, including Anheuser-Busch, Coca-Cola, ESPN, Fox, TNT, NBC, Gillette, Kmart, Nationwide, Office Depot, Sprint, Home Depot, and Toyota as the list of winners that have taken that award home. And then, obviously, tomorrow night we have the banquet. It's the Black Tie Affair, where they're going to be honoring this year's champion, Brad Keselowski, and his team. And they're going to be having America's Got Talent judge Howie Mandel hosting it. So we're all in trouble now. It's going to have live performances by Train, Lifehouse, Natasha Bedingfield, Philip Phillips, entertainers from the Beatles, Love, not sure what that is, Speed, Motor Racing Network, and SiriusXM Satellite Radio will provide live coverage of the event. The red carpet starts at 5 p.m. And starting before the awards, Miss Sprint Cup is going to be chatting with Brad Keselowski on NASCAR.com as well. So that's things that everybody can check out. It's tomorrow night. I forget what channel. Speed Channel. It's going to have it on. Not sure if their coverage is going to start at 5, though. But it's at the Wynn in the Las Vegas. So that's something definitely everybody can check out. I won't be seeing that, though, because I'll be at the track racing. But it's actually, I had some things to do before we get to the track. But after that, we'll be at the track racing.
I won't be watching because it's on Speed. And the school's too cheap to get Speed.
And the truck's tested this week on dirt. Eldora, they were testing, and
there was a YouTube video.
It was
Tony Stewart, and I think it was Ashton Dillon.
Remember.
Or Ty Dillon. One of the Dillons.
Yeah, I'm not sure which was there, but I'm kind of excited, and I'm kind of wondering, too, now that they're joining on the dirt ranks and everything like that, are there going to be some of the local dirt drivers going to trying to catch a ride in the truck series for that race? It's going to be the Wednesday before Indianapolis. It's a 2-hour drive, Tony says, from Indianapolis Motor Speedway, so he's expecting lots of fans to make that 2-hour trip to the track to see this event, the inaugural race. It's going to be July 24th at Eldora Speedway, which is in Rossburg, Ohio. It's a half-mile track, which is owned by Tony. It's
going
to be the first of 2 Wednesday night races.
Yeah, and He was driving RCR trucks.
Yeah, and it's going to be, the second race is going to be August 21st. I am kind of tempted. This is, you know, not that far away from us down here, so we're kind of thinking maybe we need to go check it out. And it looks like Canadian Tire Motorsports Park is going to be having their race, which is going to be in Bowmanville, Ontario, on September 1st. And that'll put the NASCAR presence there for the 7th consecutive season. So NASCAR is going to once again cross the borders in 2013. Looks like the trucks are going up this year. Let's see.
No, the truck dirt race, is that a points race or just like a Bud shootout, or like how the Japan race was 4 Cup?
It's
actually just being.
it's on the schedule as a regular race. It's not showing anything different. So I'm looking right now to see. It's showing to be the fifth different track to hold a NASCAR Camping World Truck Series road course event. That's for the Canadian one.
Yeah, I'm talking about Valdor.
It doesn't say it's not.
See, I can see that being like an expedition race type thought.
They're still working on it, according to this. It says that there's going to be more details to follow about it. So
yeah.
I'm not sure if they even know.
Yeah, because to me, like, I was looking at this earlier, and I was thinking it's a gimmick, just like the Japan race was, just like the Mexico race was. This is just a gimmick to get people to watch the racing, and it's not going to last. Like, there'll be that peak of excitement, and then it'll just fall off, because, I was watching, and I don't know, it just didn't look like dirt-type cars, I'll put it that way.
No, but I'm kind of interested to see if it's going to help build up that series a little bit better.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's going to have that initial excitement where everybody's going to want to watch it type thought, just like the Japan race did. Just like the Mexico race did. And then it's just going to kind of like tear off. And then it's going to go bye-bye. Just like those races did. And just become a memory. That's what I see that doing. But yeah, I do agree with you. It's going to build that sport. It's going to build that series up. And it's going to give them something to do. But I don't know if I would make that a points race though.
I don't know, maybe it'll turn into something that'll just be a whole series of its own with the trucks on the dirt.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that too. Like, you know, you got the wheeling series type thought. Like, you got the late models, that type of stuff.
Yeah, but
see,
I like seeing the diversity on the dirt and everything like that. So, I mean, if we could figure out a way to make those trucks go on dirt, I think we could bring it out, and if it's affordable and everything like that too, some people can add it into their ranks of how they move up.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that. But I don't know if, like, taking actual Craftsman truck, or not Camping World trucks, sorry, I forget that the sponsorship changed. I don't know if making that an actual race is a good idea. Because, I mean, think about these 36 trucks, and you got teams like Jeff or Joe Cobb that use the same truck over and over and over again, where you got RCR teams that can build the specialty trucks for different races. I just don't think that's going to be feasible, because most of those truck teams are those smaller teams.
But see, if they make a series that's just strictly dedicated to dirt, aside from the asphalt series, it's not going to affect our normal weekly series racers like Jennifer and them.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I agree with that. But this is just one race for the Camping World. You see why I'm going with this?
Well, they're doing three this year on dirt.
They're doing three races on dirt?
Yeah, there's three. It's not just one. They have three. They have two scheduled at Adora and one up in Canada on dirt.
And all in the truck series?
All in the truck series.
Yeah, see, I just heard about this today, this morning, when I saw the test footage. I don't know how that's going to go. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. But, like, the Dowyer in my mind is seeing big pileups. A lot of crunch-up metal.
I don't think so.
You don't think there's going to be a lot of crashes from trucks being too loose?
Or sliding into
each other?
I don't think so. I think they'll have it all worked out. They're going to have test sessions and everything like that.
Yeah, they were doing test sessions today, and, like, Tony Stewart's front bumper went bye-bye.
Or at least
a chunk of it.
But that's going to happen. It's the first time they're putting them out in the dirt, so they don't know what they're going to do and how they're going to handle. But now that they have test sessions, they'll be able to work it out.
Yeah. But, like, here's another thing. Like, one truck is fine, but you got 36 trucks. They got windows. All those, they're going to be flinging dirt onto those windshields. How often are they going to have to come into the bits? Not to change tires, not to refuel, but just to clean the windshield. You got that aspect.
Well, they're obviously going to have to make modifications to the truck. They already know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because, like, the front bumper, it's like the grills were made different. Like, there was, like, a sheet metal covering the grill of the trucks to keep the mud out of it. And they might, because you could tell, like, this was a VIA that they were putting up because they were making a big deal of them changing the tires during the beginning of the VIA, of them taking off the slicks and putting on tread tires on there. But I don't know. I mean, like I said, I agree with what you said. Like, I could see this becoming a whole entire series on its own. But I don't know if this is going to be a lasting thing in the Camping World series.
I'm going to stay optimistic. I think this is going to be a good thing.
Oh, I didn't say it was going to be a bad thing. I said a lasting thing. Like, the Japan race was a good thing, and the Mexico race was a good thing, but they didn't last. See what I'm getting at with that, or what I'm trying to say with that?
I don't know. I think, see, I come from dirt tracking, and I know this is something the fans have been wanting and craving and hoping to see, so I don't think it's going to be a one-and-done deal. I think it's going to catch on, and it's going to become really popular on the dirt tracks.
But like I said, I agree with you on the part, like, I could see this becoming a new series in its own. I do agree with that part.
Well, we'll have to wait and see how it pans out.
Like I said, I also agree. It'll be a good thing for the sport. I just don't know if it will last.
Yeah, we'll have, like I said, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
One other thing I want to touch on quick, because we're almost out of time. We've got like 3 minutes left here.
We're not doing 2 hours?
Nope, just an hour.
Okay.
Yeah, Thursdays are going to be cut down to 1 hour. Actually, I have two quick things I got a quick touch on before we run out of time. One is Jeff Bodine saying today that he has no more plans of racing. He's run 575 NASCAR Sprint Cup races over 27 seasons. And he's calling it a career. He doesn't want to call it retirement because he does have a sponsor if he decides he wants to go and race. But he's 63 years old and ran a couple races in 2011 for Tommy Baldwin Racing. And, you know, he just, this time he doesn't feel like, it didn't feel like it was going to be his last start, but he's saying he'll probably retire the sport for a number of factors. So we'll see.
Plus, the Winter Olympics are coming up, so he needs to get ready for bobsledding.
Exactly. So he's going to put his focus on that. So we'll see what happens with that one. And then the one other thing I want to quick touch on, too, before we leave, and I put this up on the Garage Talk Live page already. Everybody knows TJ Bell. He's been on the show a lot with Garage Talk Live. Done a lot with him and everything like that, too, and interviewed him and his owners from Make Motorsports. He's doing what's called the Movember and Sons. It's a something they're doing this month to help promote men's health. And you can go to us.movember.com/MOSPACE/54959937 and donate to his cause. He's trying to raise, you know, funds and awareness to help promote men's health. So this is a great cause to go and donate to. The links are up on the Facebook page on Garage Talk Live. So make sure you go check it out. Make sure you go make a donation for TJ and help him in his cause. So just want to make sure everybody knows that too. And then remind everybody that Monday night, Vince will be back with his regular show, Garage Talk Live. Tuesday night, be low down and dirty. I don't remember the guest off the top of my head, so the guys will all smack me when they see me. I give them permission. I'm sure they're listening in. So they can smack me when they see me about it. And then next Thursday, hopefully JJ will be out of the shop in time to join us for Girls Getting the Facts.
Cool.
So hope everybody has a good week, and we'll see us all back here next Thursday night.
Bye.
See ya.